on the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. I was one of the incorporators for one region. Then working there, I found that I had to move to Anchorage in order to take care of my family better. But looking back with the land claims, before they signed the act, there was a lot of people not satisfied with it, and they wanted to have a little more time to iron out all the kinks there were, so they don't have to get into so much problem. But then they hurried up and they voted on it, and they got it signed. And then there's still a lot of problems to be solved before, after that. There's a lot of problems with the corporations, the regional corporations, and with the village corporations. Now, the main thing is, I don't know what people have been talking about it yesterday or before. I wasn't here yesterday. I just came from Normandy about noon. I heard this morning, so I had to come in here. Well, the thing is, what I'm worried about is, we are not, all the natives are not well educated enough about the land claims. How are we going to keep our corporations? I've heard rumors that the federal government is going to protect the people from, if they want to sell it, they would protect the people, then let them sell it the way they want to sell it, and let nobody tell them how. To me, that's not a protection for the people. You know, when we own something and we sell it, what do we have? We have nothing left. So if we sell out if we sell out corporation, what do we have left? We don't even have a voice in there no more. Then how can we survive? If the federal government wants to protect the people, I think there's only one way that they can protect them. Is educate the people through the regional corporations or through the village corporations how they can keep their land and how they can keep it without selling it or without losing it. Because the protection I saw from the federal government, to me, it's not a protection. It's just helping the people to sell it. Now, like if a person wants to sell it, well, fine, but what does he have left? He don't have anything left. Well, as long as that is concerned, if the federal government say, do as you please with it, then we can do as we please with it. I don't think we should have the federal government tell us how to sell it or how to keep it. Because if it is ours, we should be able to do what we want to do with it. But we should be educated enough to have to keep what we have and not sell it, but keep it for our children and our grandchildren. Because if I sell my stock now, I have nothing and my grandchildren have nothing. Whereas if I had kept it and let it go to my grandchildren, they have something to talk about, and I have something to show for my children. But if we sell it, we have nothing. Like one time we were told that if it's a rumor, or what I heard was that we would be protected by the attorneys and the consultants. I haven't seen no protection yet from them. Because we started the act, when they first started the act and the attorneys were talking about it, we were down at Bethel, have a meeting, and there were four different attorneys talk about that, the act, and explain it. And I had to interpret for them into Yupik language. And there's four attorneys. Each one interpreted different way. And I couldn't make out which way to go. And at the end, I told the attorneys that I don't like the attorneys because of their language, the way they talk. I said, if you want to get that act straight, put it into one language, then we can understand it. But that has not come yet, and it is still on there. And there's a danger that in 1991, what are we going to do? We're just going to lose out on everything, unless we get educated enough to keep what we have. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Tyson, you were one of the incorporators of Chilista, I take it.
Yes, I was.
That was immediately following the Claims Act.
Yes.
Are you still active at all?
Not that much, no more, no. But once in a while I get into discussions like this.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Judge Berger, my name is Paul Q. Lena, born and raised at King Island, but I've been residing here in Anchorage for almost 20 years. What I'm going to talk about a little bit of subsistence, about the how they make their relationship before they have a contact with the outside world. And I'm going to talk about a little bit about our ancestors' system or the government they follow before they have a contact from the outside world. Because since we have a land claim settlement, those regulations have been drifted away from us, and today we have always have arguments. The subsistence to me, that's something that we born with, because our teachers teach us how to kill animals. It's not only the food to our body, it's also a food to our soul. Even though our ancestors don't know about Christianity, they have a way to honor the animal and release his spirit to the God. Because the system they have, they always respect their relatives, elders, even the earth, even the sea, they respect. Today we are drifting so far away from that system, we lose our willpower, how to respect. Because when I was a young man, killed four seal, that four seal does not belong to me. It belonged to the elders. That means those elders don't hunt no more. Also, the little 6 or 7 years old boy, whenever they kill a little bird, their parents or their uncle make a big potluck out of this for this little boy to encourage him to be a better citizen. Because they teach him how to obey whenever they tell that child. I have those word of respect up today because it still applies to us living today. Even though the United States advanced so much with the modern technology, it's still useful to any human being who apply to those rich values. Also, our ancestors living according to the family tree. They respect that family tree because all the problem that will be created in the village has been done by our family tree because the respect is so great, it's unbreakable. Like my uncle, he teach me when I was 9 years old. He said, if you respect your own age and the elders, you're going to have something. It's just like making a profit for any business people. Sometimes I like to do some rational things. But one time my uncle tell me indirectly without saying any word to me. He used my teasing cousin to talk to me because our friendship is so great, it's unbreakable. If he say something to me face to face, we would lose that respect. Those unique solution to our problem is always and will be applied to us. Because he said, when the young man raised up real poor, and when he start to have something possessed, he start to say something in the village in order to hurt somebody's feelings. And I start to grow up that way. And he tell me indirectly, without saying any word to me, you couldn't raise that way. So I stopped what I was doing. Also, when I have my first son, he liked my son so much. One time I was carving in our clubhouse, and I poked my son with my elbow. And he started to cry without any word. And later on, I look around, there's something wrong inside of our clubhouse. And I look at my uncle. He gave me a real strong look through my eyes without saying any word. And I look back, my son was crying. Those kind of punishment that we shouldn't lose. Even we still applying to our corporation. Because without saying any word, you could teach somebody without the big arguments among some of those corporation issues. Because arguments make enemies. Even though sometimes you couldn't even win, you still keep on talking. And that way you could lose your manpower in your corporation. Because sometimes we have arguments with with somebody that are smarter than we are. Then we lose that man. What are we going to do? I also born in our King Island village. We have hardly any problem because our cultural values and the church teaching also good work together. I see no policemen in my village. I don't see no criminal institution in my village. I don't see no child abuse in my village. I don't see no divorces. Who worked these problems for us? The family tree. I think our forefathers had the best government in the world today. Because right now they have 80% native in McLaughlin Youth Center. Because we're drifting away from those values. Who are going to teach these values? You are. How we are going to teach them to our kids without costing and send it all to us, even to the government? Because it's still nobody, any human being make no better human beings today. Because there is no technology to make one. So these cultural values today still will be applied to us if we want, because it could be useful to the state government, village government, even the United States government. And I hope someday somebody will ask a native, how do you used to live so peaceful a long time ago? I tried to spread these values because there's three non-native told me. One is minister, one a professional trainer for United States government, and one just a local person. They all told me if we used your native way of life, we could live better. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Honorable Berger, maybe I introduce myself. Now, the way I'll address this crowd is with my native tongue. Shawudaneke, sha, kakau, kakatso. I greet you, one and all, hoping we pull for the same goal. As I come with my second topic, which is a very, very hard bill, and Governor Sheffield is working on it, we're working on it, it's subsistence. It's a must with our people. And it's a hard subject. There's a lot of aspects we gotta look into. Lots of things we gotta do, lots of things, a lot of time, a lot of money. Hoping we would settle that bill. Maybe with this new legislation coming in, we might just do it. But to get away from the subject, I am legally tied in with the Legislative Teleconference Network. And I speak to them right from my home. And there's a system they got. You can call them from anywhere on the globe. And where I got involved with them was when I was in Juneau under three governorship. But get away from the subject, I want to get back to this group. My people, do not sell your land. It's your rights. It's a hard subject. Then they'll try anything under the world to get it away from you. They'll promise anything. Now, where have we gotten? No place. Haven't even got to the first page of my subjects. My subjects at home will fill this room four or five times over. But to make the subject short, we need what we got. We're not going to get any more. We let go of that, we got nothing. Just like I got nothing. I'm cooking it regional at large. Mine is Sealaska, but I came up here for this land claim. In order to get back there on time, I couldn't do it. So I registered Cook Inlet at large. And I tried everything, tried to do right by them. I know they have tried to help me. But on my own, I've been doing great. Only got two more years to go back to college and get my BA degree. And I got my AA degree on my own. No money involved, just adult education. But it has helped me. I didn't go to high school. I waited till I got out of the Army before I got my education. And it's helped me. I want to help my people. And I hope each one of you, like you, girl, will spread the word, tell them we need help. Let's combine and help each one another. And I thank you for your time, your patience, and my time is your virtue. Thank you, Mr. Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Nielsen. Thank you.
Yeah. We have some more time.
Right.
Well, it's a bit early for a coffee break. Anybody else like to say something? Yes, sir.
My name is Robert W. Rood. I'm a shareholder and also a director for Cook Inlet Region. I'd like to speak on the AFN amendments proposed for 1991. These are my opinions and concerns, and I'll read from a statement that I have prepared. There is much interest being generated in the state on AFN's proposed amendments for 1991. Most of the native leadership in the state is supportive of the proposed amendments. I am not in favor of most of the AFN amendments because they are not in compliance with existing laws. The AFN amendments take away rights of current shareholders, and I believe they will greatly reduce the value of stock owned by current shareholders. The AFN amendments are being introduced as amendments to ANSCA under a concept that ANSCA is Indian legislation, and as such, rights of Indians can be legislated away. I believe much of this theory is based on a concept in PL 94-201, Section 30B of this Act, contains a provision that took away dissenting shareholder rights in mergers enacted before 12-1991. The theory is, if Congress passed legislation that took away dissenting shareholder rights, they will approve other legislation that will take away current shareholder rights. Laws and legislation. Number one, Section 7H1 of ANSCA prohibits the sale of stock until after 12-1891. Number two, Section 7H3 of ANSCA states that all previously issued stock shall be canceled and new unrestricted stock shall be issued to each shareholder. Number three, Section 1401 of ANOCA amended ANSCA to allow for the denial of voting rights to each shareholder who is not a native or a descendant of a native, and allowed the granting of first right to purchase stock by a native corporation or a shareholder's family. Before ANOCA amendments can be adopted, a majority, 51%, of shareholders must approve them, and 66 2/3 of all shareholders must vote in favor of changing their corporate articles to allow for the changes. Number four, federal and state laws require corporations to make adequate disclosures to their shareholders before a vote is taken on actions that devalue their stock. Number five, dissenting shareholders have a right to compel the corporation to pay fair value for their stock before a devaluing action takes place. Number six, Section 2B of ANSCA states the settlement should be accomplished in conformity with the real economic and social needs of natives, with maximum participation by natives in decisions affecting their rights and property. AFN resolutions proposed for 1991. How much time do I have?
Take your time.
Resolution number one.
Service.
Okay. Gives the Board of Directors authority to set minimum voting requirements to approve an option as long as a majority of a quorum approves and a resolution does not allow dissident rights. Comment. This resolution takes away rights given dissenting shareholders under current law and gives too much authority to boards of directors. Resolution would allow boards to set minimum voting requirements for options they wanted passed and maximum voting requirements for those they opposed. Series quorum is 33 1/3%, so an option favored by the board could be passed with only 17% of the shareholders voting in favor of the option, when normally it would take 66 2/3 of the shareholders to approve the option. Resolution number two would eliminate the sale of stock after 1991, but gives each corporation the option to permit the sale of stock under current ANSCA provision, would allow the sale option to be exercised once prior to 12-1891 and thereafter as prescribed in each corporation's bylaws. Comment. By eliminating the 1991 provision, the restriction against selling stock would remain in place, and shareholders wanting to sell their stock could not do so unless the required amount of shareholders voted to do so. This resolution takes away rights of individual shareholders given under Section 7H1 and 7H3 of ANSCA, and restricting stock would devalue stock. If resolutions 1 and 2 passed, it would require 17% to 66 2/3 approval of the shareholders to sell stock. The percentage needed for approval would be set by the boards. Resolution number 3 would allow native corporations to buy stock from shareholders before 1991. Comment: this resolution was introduced and supported by My Siri Management. The resolution is contrary to Section 7H1 of ANSCA. I believe this amendment would take advantage of the needy and the elderly. I believe shareholders in need would sell their stock at a much lower rate than those that sell after 1991, if that's their desire. This will happen, in my opinion, because the value of the corporation's assets will not be known until appraisals are obtained on the assets. And since only native corporations could buy the stock, there would be a lack of competitive buyers to drive the price of the stock up. Resolution number 4. This is a popular resolution, and I have concern, but I still have trouble with the law on this. Would allow each corporation the option of offering additional stock to natives, leaving the price, if any, up to the corporation, and eliminating any liability for issuing stock at low or no cost. Comment: this amendment is not in compliance with ANSCA. Section 5A states that enrollees shall had to be born on or before and alive on 12/1871. If this resolution is passed, the value of current shareholder stock will be diluted, and the value of stock will be greatly reduced if a large number of new enrollees were approved by each of the corporations. It is estimated that 40,000 new natives would be enrolled by 1991 if this amendment is passed. This would reduce the value of current stock by about 1/3 and could result in lawsuits from a number of shareholders not approving such an action that would devalue their stock. I believe the profitable corporations with assets that can be developed in the short term would receive more enrollees than the less profitable corporations that had assets that could not be developed for many years. As an example, if a husband was enrolled to Siri and his wife was enrolled to another corporation that had accumulated losses of millions of dollars, the children born after 12/1871 would probably enroll to Siri. If the rolls were open for children born after 12/1871, they would have to be kept open from then on, or the situation would resurface again and again in future years. I do not believe ANSCA or the corporate structure would work if this amendment was approved. I do not believe ANSCA or the corporate structure, to prevent legal challenges, I believe ANSCA should be amended to allow parents of children born after 12/1871 the right to transfer some of their stock to their children. Another solution might be to have a stock split where you change 100 into 1,000 shares and transfer some of them shares to your children that missed the act. Another possible solution would be to follow existing law and take the option to the shareholders for a vote. And if 66 2/3 approve this action, those that don't should be given dissident rights to cash your stock out at a fair value. Resolution number 5. This amendment would prohibit the transfer of stock to anyone who is not a native or a descendant of a native. Comment: this amendment is not in compliance with ANSCA. Under 7H3, stock is unrestricted after 12/1891. Passage of this resolution would devalue stock and would be a taken of a vested right. Many of our shareholders have married non-natives, and their stock may be their only asset they have to pass on to their mates to give them financial support after they have passed away. Shareholders have a right under existing law to transfer their stock to whomever they wish after 12/1891. Resolution 6 would grant voting rights to shareholders who are descendants of natives. Comment: descendants that inherit stock should be given voting rights. Resolution number 7 would allow for the transfer of corporate lands to the land bank as allowed under Anoka, and would allow for the transfer of corporate lands to another corporation through a shareholder's vote without dissenters' rights. Comment: if land transferred to the land bank were protected from taxation, it would be a benefit. But if transfer affected stock value because the lands were unproductive, that could affect stock value. If this option is adopted, it should be done by a vote of 66 2/3%, and dissident rights should be honored, as it is stated in the law. Resolution number 8 would amend ASCA to allow the transfer of corporate assets to a new entity to be composed only of natives and their descendants without stock that can make distributions excluding land to individual members. All existing shareholders would be given lifetime non-transferable memberships, and dissident rights would not be honored. Comment: this amendment is not in compliance with ANSCA or other laws. If passed, it would take away vested rights of current shareholders and greatly reduce the value of individual shareholder stock. I believe this amendment would wipe out ANSCA and the corporations and most of the rights given shareholders under ANSCA, and it would take away the right of the corporations to disperse any lands to the shareholders. And I know our corporations in Cook Inlet have been looking at different options on that. As a shareholder of Cook Inlet, I have concern when I see AFN moving to adopt resolutions that have not been presented and voted on by shareholders in the Cook Inlet region. And I think they're doing it backwards. I think in all fairness, they should take these resolutions to the individual corporations, and they should approve them by a majority and have them brought back to AFN, and then from there AFN should legislate if that's the desire of the people. But for an organization to take the power away from the individuals that have been given this power under Congress is wrong. And as an individual Native, I object to what they're doing now. Thank you.
Mr. Rude, though. There's much food for thought in that document you read. Could you leave it with me? Do you mind?
Sure. I got an extra copy for you anyway, Mr. Bitt.
Good. Maybe I could ask you. I understand you served as an officer of Cook Inlet for some
years.
Yes,
I was one of the organizers of Cook Inlet region and has been involved in it ever since it started.
Yeah. One question on resolution number 4, AFN resolution number 4, about the providing of additional stock to new natives to bring their shareholdings up to 100. Mm-hmm. You suggest that if they are going to maintain an open role so that every child who's born automatically gets his shares.
I don't know how they can do that under the corporate structure. What I am saying that they can do it if they amend the act right now to allow the transfer of parents that have children born after the act to transfer stock immediately to them children if they want them children to inherit. If you have an act that set us as corporations, how can you keep adding shareholders to it? Every time you do, you devalue stock, and then you have to get approval from existing shareholders. Well, and to me, if you would do that, or either take it to the people and have them vote on it, and if 66 2/3 approved, that might be a solution. Another solution that I thought about was the possibility of transferring long-term land assets that may not be developed for another 5 or so years or 10 years, and have the people vote on that and allow all the new shareholders into the act as participants to be shareholders in that land corporation. But again, you'd have to take the 66 2/3% approval of the shareholders, and then you'd have to buy out dissident shareholders that disapproved. But I see it as a real problem, and I have a sympathy in my heart for the kids that have not had a right to be shareholders in this. But as I look at the laws and stuff like that, it's really a confused problem to satisfy that need. And that's the only solutions that I can think about. Maybe other people can come up with more fair solutions, but that's the only thing that I have been able to come up at this time.
Yes. Oh, well, I guess we have a question here, or Mr.
It's kind of a question and kind of not, because I've only heard Mr. Rood come from the corporate side of the story, and I was wondering if he has given any thought to the tribes exerting their sovereign authority and doing away with the corporate structure and putting the land back in the hands of the natives and not the corporations.
Well, on something like that, I don't know if it's going to be a reality to have that approved or not. But if it has a benefit, you know, I think that options should be presented to the people, and the people make the decision. And if that's a valid option, maybe that would be one of two or three that would come before us, and we would vote on it. And I don't really know enough about what you have just spoke about. I haven't been keeping that much a track about that particular item.
Just coming back to the idea of the open enrollment, it would mean that every time a child was born and received 100 shares, without consideration, that is, without having to pay for them, mm-hmm. the value of all the other shareholders' stock would diminish by a small fraction, and that would be one of the, you know, this has come up again and again, and I've put it to people in meetings at villages, not meetings of folks like Anchorage, and I've said, well, that would mean that your value of your stocks would be diminished,
mm-hmm.
and they've said, you know, that's okay with us. Let the children participate. But it is, I think your analysis is thought-provoking on that one.
I think there's enough of us in the state where we can come together and have some valid options presented to the people that may take care of that problem. You know, I've just thought on it a little bit. I've read every piece of information that I could get my hands on as a board of director of SERI, and I've read probably about 3 inches of material now on this, and I know it's a problem, and I just don't know what other solutions are out there that would satisfy everybody on that. There probably isn't.
What about the big question of selling shares? Yesterday, somebody said that she wanted to have the option of selling her shares because she hadn't got anything out of ANCSA. She's an at-large shareholder,
mm-hmm.
and she said, if I am denied the right to sell my shares, then I'm not a member of a village corporation. She said, where does that leave me? How do you feel on the question of whether or not people should have the right to
I'm a strong supporter of that right. As a shareholder, that person should have the right to sell or retain their shares. I think management has a job in the next 6 years to educate the people on the benefits of retaining these stocks. And if management is wise, they would be more sharing with the people. And if they made corporation long-term plans to really start training and putting their own people in to manage and run their own corporations, I think that would be helpful. I think it would be helpful to develop some kind of land plans for the people. Maybe a small disbursement of land to the shareholders. Instead of fee simple, if it's a real heavy cost, and I don't know what the costs are going to be, but Once projects are researched, maybe options could be brought before the people, and then the people voted on the options on land. But one of the things I was looking at was doing research on maybe a small land disbursement, or either if the cost was too heavy, maybe let shareholders in this area have a piece of land to use for life. I've lived in Anchorage for 44 years, and I have never used any of Ceres lands. In fact, where I fish, it's up in the Otna's area. I have a native allotment in the Otna country, and I go down to Seward, and I go down to Kenai, the Kenai River area, to do my fishing and hunting. And the lands that we have in Cook Inlet region, I've never used them all the time I've been here. But if we could develop something to have a bind with the people where they're more bound to the land in Cook Inlet, since we're urban people, basically the majority of us are, and then we have about 1,800 in the lower 48, somehow we've got to get them people more bound to the land where they have more of a feeling that they know they're going to share and this is really going to be something for them. Right now they haven't received what they probably should have received under the Act. But I think if you change your plans and bring them more into the company and share with them and let them know you have a long-term plan to make that company a native company, staffed by native people for native people, and share as much as you can and develop educational plans and all that, I think you can win the people over. If they know you're going to share with them and you're going to give them a good return on their value. As an investor, I know myself, I go out and I invest in certain projects, and if I got good return, I keep it there. If not, you know, I just go ahead and get rid of that, and then I invest in something else. And I think people, our people would, if they know that you're really working for